WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Twitch and you happen to have Prime Gaming, I'll get the name right eventually. If you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can
click the little purple button. It's boots to asses time!
Thanks for the sub, Matt. We appreciate it. You know, you can do what Matt did. You can click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days with Prime Gaming. Or if you want to subscribe the regular way, it is, I believe it's 20% off, or gifting a sub, I think, is 20% off. But either way, you can click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. You can subscribe, you can follow, or you can just hang out and chat. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. And while you're in chat, ladies and gentlemen, you can hit that balls command, because if you do, it will take you to manscaped.com. Where, for the rest of this month, if you use code WTRLIVE at checkout, you will get not only 20% off everything in their store, you get free shipping too. So think about it. Think about it. Black Friday's coming. What little Black Friday we're going to have. You get that 20% off anything in their store, you get free shipping. Get sent to anybody in your family that you feel needs to manscape. Or scape in general. Because they make other... you know, various things like nail trimmers and nose hair trimmers, and not just the lawnmower 3.0, because I can speak and do this plug, and many other fine products. So manscaped.com, use code WTRLIVE. Go pick it up today. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Did you know
that
the Perfect Package 3.0 by Manscaped is the perfect holiday gift? Did you know this?
I didn't. But I could see that.
It's the Lawnmower 3.0. It is the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reliever Ball Toner, and the Reduced Chafing Boxer Briefs.
I mean, Reduced Chafing Boxer Briefs alone should be like a selling point for everybody that has that equipment.
I mean,
I personally don't.
I mean, just keep on a lookout at manscaped.com this Black Friday and Cyber Monday, because They're gonna have a deal, so you might as well use code WTRLIVE. All
check
that
it
fun,
out.
Fun stuff. You could follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lance Ward. Join us at WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WGLF.
Ding! So we have some stuff to get into tonight. We are talking one of my favorite things in the world. It is Undertaker Month, guys. That's right. It is the Undertaker's 30th anniversary with WWE. He's getting a whole month of content on the network. Yes! And we are going to be talking about some of it that we've watched so far. The one that I've been looking forward to is actually airing this weekend, which is the sit-down between Kane and The Undertaker, where they sit there in an empty theater and shoot shit for a while, so I cannot wait to see that. But the Paul Bearer documentary has aired, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We're also going to talk a little bit about Paul Bearer's influence on The Undertaker, and whether or not he would have had the career that he's had without him. So we'll be doing that in the back half of the show. We also have Tweet of the Week, and we're going to have some news and notes and that kind of thing, as well as NXT, all your favorites. So we're going to jump right into news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And we have, ladies and gentlemen, quite a bit of AEW news that we need to get out of the way. First and foremost, I think the biggest story, there's a couple big stories of AEW. I'm going to start with this one first because it's brand new to them. It's actually a really cool announcement. It shows their progression, which is that AEW has officially announced that they are going to be releasing a video game, which is being worked on by Yuke's and Brian Williams, former guest of the show. Very nice individual. They're also getting a casino slot game. That's pretty effing cool.
And one other game too. We'll start with the console game. Console game, as mentioned, is being developed by renowned video games developer Yuke's, who were behind a lot of the WWE franchise games for the past 20 years until they left for 2K19. Oh. They have the man behind No Mercy, everyone's favorite, Gata from Japan. He's working on the property, so that should be interesting. They're also releasing two mobile games, AEW Casino Double or Nothing, which when they did their presentation said right now, but it's launching this winter. And then AEW Elite GM, which will launch later in 2021, developed by Common Games, one of the fastest growing independent operators in the world. So AEW Games Elite GM is the evolution of GM simulator genre, taking the strategic elements of simulation fantasy games to create a competitive and engaging space for wrestling community to take part in, incorporating the expanding AEW brand, serving a celebration of wrestling as a whole. That's what they call it. And for AEW Casino, Double or Nothing is anticipated launch this winter. Double or Nothing will feature AEW branded versions of slot, blackjack, poker, and roulette, along with AEW music, sound, video, and wrestler virtual avatars, gift packs, and more.
So it sounds pretty cool. So we have that to look forward to. So dang. Yeah,
yes, just no more presentations where you're trying to mock Steve Jobs.
Please. Here's the thing. I appreciate a PowerPoint presentation or a presentation with a good shtick. Trust me, I've been a part of several that have had a really good shtick. No, please, please no. Also, you don't have to highlight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week so much.
Because no one's doing that.
But other than that, it's a pretty cool announcement. Like, I give them all the credit in the world for that. Also, sticking on AEW, another really interesting note about them is that Tony Khan gave a statement or answered a question about their COVID regulations, because they had received some criticism on them, and basically because they had been allowing their talent to still continue to appear at indie events despite the COVID outbreak. And Tony Khan has since stated that he's going to be tightening those restrictions slightly. He's not going to stop it, but basically the guys and the girls have to come and get Tony's approval or the company's approval before they can make said appearances. And I believe the promotion has to be approved for their practices before anybody can appear there. So it's really interesting that that came out.
About time, because you don't need to get your workers sick or hurt an indie show, and then you have to change your television around because they can't make it. It's smart business.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think it's a good idea, and I think it's a good idea in general. I mean, I understand where they're coming from by allowing their talent to work indies. I respect it wholeheartedly, but to me, it always kind of felt a little bit like, well, we don't necessarily want to pay the talent that are going to be going out on the indies, because your higher end stars like the Bucks and Omega and Cody and even Mox to a certain extent, although he's doing it as well, aren't necessarily going to be the ones going out on the indies. It's going to be the guys like Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and those guys that are going to be going out making a name for themselves or continuing to make a name for themselves. And it just felt like, oh, well, we're maybe not going to pay you as much, so because you're going to supplement with indies. But I don't know if that's true or not. But that's what it felt like to me, is like it was kind of like a cop out of, oh, well, maybe we don't have to pay you as much because of that. But I could be wrong. Probably am. But it's a good thing either way, because he's protecting the talent, which they probably should have been doing that all along. But live and learn. I mean, I think it's mainly in response to the fact that AEW has had a COVID outbreak, despite all the precautions that they have been taking, which I think was inevitable for everybody. Like, at some point, it's just going to happen, because you just, at this stage of the game, you can't necessarily control people and what they're doing. So it's going to happen. Just the odds are there that it's going to happen. But it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's very good that he's doing that. And also what's very good, and speaking of Cody, so last week we talked about how Cody got his name back.
Yes, we did.
How WWE dropped the Rhodes trademark, and he very promptly picked it up. And we speculated, you know, what could have happened, you know, what could have gotten traded for that. And, well, we found out this week what got traded for the Rhodes name. Six WCW trademarks got traded for WWE to drop the Rhodes name, because Cody had originally put a trademark on them, and he's since dropped that. So the six that he let go were Slamboree, The Match Beyond, Bunkhouse Stampede, Battle Bowl, Super Brawl, and Bash at the Beach.
Bash at the Beach is the one they've actually used in AEW, which they've now... It makes sense that he gave it up, because over the weekend they announced that there's like a beach something or other in January, and it's not called Bash at the Beach this year, so that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, and I think WWE had been trying to get their hands on Bash at the Beach, and Cody had stopped it. So this kind of alleviates that problem and could open a door, especially when they leave the Thunderdome, for them to do any one of those events outside of the Thunderdome and be completely fine. And speaking of that, transitioning over to WWE real quick, the Amway Center has beginning an announcing dates in December, but it's speculative that WWE is not going to re-sign in December because the NBA is coming back. The Magic are going to come into that building again. So they have to find a new home, and I believe they're actively searching for that as we speak. But
it appears that they may be going to the Tampa Bay Rays stadium.
There you go. So seems the Thunderdome might be relocating. Transitioning back to AEW real quick. AEW announced, based on last night's TV, that Jade Cargill has signed a multi-year deal with the company, so congratulations to her.
I like how they wrote in the press release, rising wrestling sensation. No one's ever heard of her before.
I was going to say, who is she?
She's a former basketball player, apparently, and then she's been on trading and stuff.
Oh, all right, cool. Good for her. Awesome for her. I'm going to WWE, officially transitioning over. This is interesting to me, and I'm not sure why, because this has been such a weird storyline with her, but WWE has announced that they're doing a Chronicle episode on Lana, which will premiere on the WWE Network on Saturday, November 21st. Okay.
We will, you know, watch her react to being put through the table week in and week out. There'll probably be footage of her. There's probably going to be footage of her training with Natty and stuff like that. So it'll be cool.
I get what they're trying to do with her. They are trying to make her a thing. Like, they are actively trying to make her a thing. And I respect that wholeheartedly. But just what they're doing with her right now, it's like, okay. Putting her through a table week in and week out with no offense or no defense, that's not working. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But go, Lana. You take that Chronicle and you run with it. Also, Running with the WWE is going to air Tribute to the Troops on Fox on December 6th. Check your local listings for time. I believe this is last year's event.
No.
Oh, is this a brand new one?
We're going to have a brand new one. It's going to take place in the Thunderdome. It will air depending on when your football game is, either 4 o'clock, or if you have the early game, or 3:30 if you have the late game.
Okay, there you go. And let's see, Adult Swim's Laser Wolf will feature Big E, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston. It debuts December 6th.
Yeah, that's cool. Big E's been a part of it before. Now Woods and Kofi are going to have some minor roles in it as well. So
they get reunited.
And
yay.
It feels so good.
It's going to feel so good. That's if they can pry Xavier off that PS5. And last but certainly not least... Oh, wait, no, we have one more thing. WWE also announced that Tony Chimmel had been released, which, that's sad, because we get no more Rated R Superstar.
Or they can bring him back to do it as a one-off.
They could.
I mean, he's, you know, is what it is.
It's very sad and unfortunate. I don't think anybody wanted that, but at the same time, I think they're trying to do cost-saving measures.
He was big on the road, the house shows and stuff, and organizing all that, and heading up the crews, and clearly.
They don't need that right now.
They don't need that right now. So you just got, they paid him for 6 months to do really not a lot. And then he's been in the company for 35 years. I mean, it sucks. But at some point, you have to figure it all out. I know that everyone's on the internet. It's like, well, they're making record profits. Yeah, I guess they are. They're going to stay that way. But they have to cut costs. It's just the way it is because you don't need all the positions you're looking for right now because you're not the traveling circus you once were for this year.
And they're probably not going to be when they first come back. Like,
no,
that's the thing.
They're probably not going to be a traveling circus till next summer.
At the earliest.
So it's a full-time one. And even then, it might be till 2022 before they're a full-time traveling circus again.
Like, here's the thing. And this doesn't make it any better. And I feel really bad for Tony Chimmel and everybody else that's gotten released. But it's something that WWE earlier this summer furloughed a bunch of people. And they were furloughed for, what, 6 weeks, I think?
90 days, I think.
90 days. So it's something that you furlough people for 90 days to try and save as many jobs as you possibly can to save costs. And I think they've done that because they're not just trying to save the Rogue crew, they're trying to save the office as well. Which that's an interesting story because apparently there's rumor going around that WWE may not even be going back into the office. They're still going to have the building and they're for the production facilities, but they're apparently not going to make people come into the office anymore if they don't want to, or if they don't feel a need to. I should say if they don't feel safe or they just want to work remote. They're looking at actually flexible work schedules like a lot of companies are right now because they've discovered, oh, hey, when people work at home, they're generally more productive because there's no driving involved when you work from home. You work typically longer and in some cases harder because you don't necessarily need to drive into work or drive home from work. You can make lunch at home. You can let your pets out. You can do whatever you need to do. You can hang out with your kids. So they're discovering that, like many companies are, and so they're looking at the options of having a flexible work schedule. But they're still going to keep the building, you know, reasons. But, I mean, in the case of, like, Tony Chimmel and some of the others that were furloughed and were, I don't think, well, no, he wasn't furloughed. But in some of the cases of the ones that were furloughed and weren't looking at coming off of furlough, it's almost more fair to them to go ahead and let them go and find a job elsewhere than keep them on the payroll and not pay them.
And the talk is they're going to bring up most of the people back who are furloughed, if possible.
Yeah, if they want to come back. And that's the thing is it's like Tony Chimmel can always get rehired, but it doesn't make sense. Like, here's the thing. If you get paid to do a specific job, right? Like in his case, he coordinates all the road stuff. And all of a sudden, they stop being on the road, right? They could have looked at him the day that they came off the road and said, you know what? There's the door. We don't need you anymore. Or 2 weeks after, we don't need you anymore. They kept him around for 6 months. I'm not saying that's generous. I'm not saying that's good. They could have let him go a lot earlier than that. But they didn't because at that point, I don't think they knew the full picture. And I think there was always that hope that by SummerSlam, they would be back out on the road, that they would have the audiences back, that they would be back out on the road. And they're not. They're just not. It's November 12th and we're well past SummerSlam and we're heading into 2021. And with the way things are going right now, I don't even think full crowds are going to be back as of yet. They're going to try. They're going to try really hard to get them back. But at this point, they can't even get full crowds in. So I understand it. It doesn't make it good. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it fair. But I understand why they did it. It just sucks. It just sucks for him.
Yeah. And a bunch of other people got let go. It sucks for all of them. But welcome to 2020.
That sucks, Matt. I'm sorry. That really sucks. So moving on from there, last and final story before we talk about NXT. As we mentioned, it's Undertaker month. They're doing the final farewell, expect me to ugly cry, unless Bray completely murders The Undertaker, at which point I'll probably be extremely happy, and then ugly cry, at Survivor Series. And they're going to do the send-off. They're going to do the full-blown send-off for The Undertaker. He gets to come out one more time and, you know, wave his hat, wave to the crowd on the TV screens, and say goodbye. And, well, he's going to have some friends there. At the very least, Savio Vega, the Godfather, and of course his brother has to be there, Kane. They're all scheduled to come to Survivor Series and say goodbye to our favorite dead man. And I need Kane, former guest of this show, mayor of Knoxville. I need to have a word with him. How dare you drag your TV brother and work husband that hard in an interview? Sir, you did not need to go hard that hard for his soul. Like, you seriously didn't. It's a little rude. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Kane is basically like in an interview with, I think it was Ryan Satin, where he was like, yeah, Taker said he's going to retire before. We all thought it was going to happen with Roman. It didn't happen. So we'll see if it sticks this time. Sir, you did not need to do that. That's what his wife is for. She needs to drag him that hard. Because she's earned it. Not to say that Kane hasn't, because God only knows what that man has seen. God, can you imagine? Can you imagine all the weird shit he's seen with Taker?
I mean...
Can you just imagine? Good lord.
He's seen some weird shit.
He's seen some weird shit in his day, I promise you. And with that, we're going to talk about some weird shit. We're going to talk about NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So last week, Johnny Gargano was all happy with Wheels. He was all celebratory. He was excited. Him and Wheels are BFFs. So because of that, he decided this week he's going to do an open challenge with the wheel. Where there's a wheel, there's a way. And whoever the wheel lands on, that's who will get a shot at the NXT North America Championship. And you see all these real names and stuff on the thing, and then you see one that's been taped over, and then the word Leon Ruff is put on it. So the wheel is spun, and it goes round and round and round, and then back, it goes back a little bit, and on there, Leon Ruff gets chosen.
And he's all excited, he runs out, he's pulling up his knee pads, oh my god, he's getting a shot against Johnny Gargano for the North American title, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, if he beats Johnny for this title because Damian costs him the title, I'm going to laugh so hard. What happened?
So did you laugh hard?
I laughed so hard. I was sitting here cackling because Damian Priest comes out and costs Johnny Gargano the North American title in his very first title defense, because that was what he brought up, was he lost the title the last time in his very first title defense. He was going to make sure it wasn't going to happen this time, so he fixes the odds. He rigs it so he has, like, basically a cupcake match against Leon Ruff. And, well, the cupcake turned out to be the real deal thanks to Damian Priest. And, well, Johnny Gargano loses the North American Championship. And, oh, gosh. The visual of, like, Damian, he puts the title on and he's so excited. He's like, oh, my God, I won. And then Damian lets go of the title and it just drops around his feet because his waist is so tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, he's so tiny. So, and then they have to, like, pick the title up. And that was the joke on the internet. And Hunter's like, this is why we don't call it a belt.
True. So we go backstage. Mackenzie and Damian are congratulating Leon Ruff. He's so happy. And then Priest gives him the keys to his car to get away because, you know, Johnny's going to come back here pissed. Gargano enters. He's demanding Regal reverse the decision. And he's like, no. Priest tells Gargano, just go watch the Wheel of Fortune. Good stuff.
It was very good stuff. I like this. William Regal was very busy tonight. I just have to say that.
He was. Santos Escobar took on Jake Atlas for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship before the match. We saw highlights of them showing up at the PC and Atlas having a bat and taking out one of the men. So it led to the match. Good match. Enjoyable. Santos Escobar escaped with the title.
He did. We have to talk about how dangerous the parking lot is. It's equally as dangerous as Full Sail. Like, oh my god. Can they get that under control? Like, Jesus. Get it under control. Get better security. But yeah, this was really good.
Santos is retained. We go backstage. Dexter Lumis is drawing. It was a character of the zombie referee and Cameron Grimes.
Running away. Poor Cameron. And everybody's watching him draw. I'm like, that is Rob Schomburger's shtick. He's stealing Rob Schomburger's stuff.
We had a video promo with Shotzi Blackheart.
Very good.
Very good promo. Talking about the tank meant to her and her family and all that fun stuff. And she's vowing to kick Candace's ass. Last week, we learned that that Xia Li had to fight Raquel Gonzalez. Well, Xia, go ahead.
I want to go back really quick to the tank stuff because I like that they did this because it adds a level to that feud of what it meant to Shotzi and why it's so personal. Because they don't oftentimes take that time to tell that part of the story of, well, it's just a tank, right? It's just something to us, but it's something very important to her, and it meant something to her, and now they're going to fight about it because Candace destroyed it. So I'm liking this. I'm liking this a lot.
So Raquel was in the ring waiting for Xia. She's not here. Boa comes out, basically says she's not here. Raquel beats his ass before she leaves. Then the lights go out. An older Asian man walks down to the ring and writes on Boa's hand. He's been marked.
And he hands him a piece of paper, and then he marks him. I was a little confused. I wasn't sure what was going on here. I mean, it looked cool. Like, visually, it looked cool. It's like, is he marking him for dead? Is it the black, like, spot thing from the Pirates of the Caribbean thing? Like, what was going on here? Like, what in the kinky shit was going on here? Because I'm not 100% sure. Like, it got weird ultra fast.
Yeah, it did.
And I'm not sure why it got weird. Like, I know Zaya said she's doing this for her family, and I don't know if that dude was from the family. I don't know if he's, like, a bad guy that's after her family. I'm not quite sure what was going on here. There was almost no explanation offered for this whatsoever, other than it just got weird fast. Yakuza, isn't that Japanese mafia?
Maybe.
This is, I guess, the equivalent of whatever the Chinese mafia is.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm very confused. It's weird. Like, it looked cool, but it was very, very weird.
Mackenzie was backstage interviewing Anthony Green, who's now named Austin Gray. Before he could speak, he gets beat up by Timothy Thatcher.
He's still way too mature for that mustache. And they fight, and they fight, and they fight, and they go to the canvas area where Dexter's beautiful canvas is laid out. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, my art soul's about to die because they're going to break that canvas. And sure enough, they go right through it. Oh, that was a nice block kick.
Well, it bent. It didn't go all the way through it. It's salvageable.
They broke the frame, so he's going to have to restretch it, which is a pain in the ass. But no, Ash, that's Boa. He's one of the Chinese recruits. Anyway, but Dexter was right there, ready to take out Timothy Thatcher. And you know who else was right there? William Regal. Like, right there, like, right next to Dexter. Like, Dexter steps in the frame and William is, like, right between them. I have no idea if William Regal either just prevented the murder of Timothy Thatcher, or if he just, because he kind of turns and he looks at Dexter, and Dexter looks at him, and Dexter kind of backs off a little bit. It's like, did William just prevent the murder, or did he just silently tell Dexter, save it for later? I'm not sure which. I'm fine with this either way, but, you know, if William Regal wants to take Dexter Loomis under his wing and teach him his villainous ways, I'm here for that. Let's go. Let's do that. I think that would be perfectly acceptable. But yeah, this was... Dude Bro is still way too mature for that mustache, and Timothy Thatcher versus Dexter Loomis. Okay. All right.
More on that in a minute. Tony Storm, Candice LeRae. Good match.
I mean, I don't know. I may just have to see this again just because I have to see it again. I just... This was so good. I would love to see this again. More of this. We had Shotzi get involved.
We had the Scream Mask person get involved. And I was surprised.
Who?
I was surprised that Candice got the win.
Thanks to the Scream Mask, who, interestingly enough, went from being a man to a woman. Funny how that works.
I mean, you know, it was Indy Hartwell, who was supposed to be all along, but reasons prevented her from doing it to Halloween Havoc.
Yeah. So it was Indy Hartwell who got revealed under the Halloween mask, and she's helping Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano. But yeah, this was very good. I like this. This was a good review.
Tyler Breeze and Fandango were talking backstage, talking about the tag team match and how they had the titles taken away from them by Pat McAfee, and they're going to become two-time NXT tag team champions.
Do the thing.
Tonight. Timothy Thatcher, Dexter Loomis, one-on-one. I was impressed how Dexter hung with Timothy Thatcher.
Dexter's just a full of surprises, isn't he? He's a little, you know, he can hang. And that, not to say that he couldn't, but you don't, I think you said it back when we were talking about it earlier, you don't expect Dexter to be able to.
Especially because Thatcher wrestles a unique style. So to be able to hang with him in that style is nice.
Yeah, it just shows the depth of Dexter's skills, because we don't really ever get to see them. So I would be completely fine with a feud between the two. After Dexter gets done with Cameron Grimes,
who got involved in this one,
who was feeling his Wheaties last night, and he decided he was going to attack Dexter after being afraid post-Halloween Havoc. The poor child just been scared out of his wits. So he attacks Dexter, and he puts a very tight burlap sack bag thing over Dexter's face and beats him up, but then Dexter can obviously see through the burlap, and he grabs a chair, and he starts swinging at Cameron, and he chases Cameron away, and Cameron is so proud of himself that he attacked Dexter Loomis, not realizing that Dexter's probably going to roll up to his house and, you know, take him out. But this was good. This is really good. I like this. I like that you had Cameron sort of get a little bit of redemption, especially after Halloween Havoc. And last week where he was kind of looking over his shoulder and he was scared and he was still freaked out. And now he's feeling better and he's kind of back to his normal cocky self. He needs to get a belt for them pants, though.
Got it. Gargano was knocking on the door of William Regal. You got to reverse the decision. You got to do it. You got to change it. I've calmed down. You got to reverse the decision. The wheel was rigged. That was supposed to be a joke. He was like, nope, it stays, and Leon Ruff is the new champion, because, you know.
Referee's decision is final.
Referee's decision is final. Looks like the curse is still on for Johnny Gargano.
I like this. I liked how they did this. I know not everybody's a fan of it, but you needed to give Johnny a win. He needed it really badly, especially for the title. He needed that win. It was a nice surprise at the pay-per-view. But he doesn't really have anybody to necessarily feud with for it outside Damian Priest. So it just airs, like, adds another layer. Because here's the thing, is Damian Priest could go against Leon Ruff for the title, right? Say, hey, give me a shot at it. I'm a former champion. Let's go. And Johnny could cost Damian his opportunity. And Leon gets away. And the title gets away. But their feud can continue. So that's how they're kind of telling that story a little bit. Maybe. We'll see.
Tommaso Ciampa cut a promo talking about the locker room of today and how he's going to change the locker room because he's Tommaso Ciampa and he brings change.
God, he's so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this little, like, just him cutting these little promos where it gets him on TV, it keeps him relevant, but he's not necessarily in a feud right now. And this is just so good. It's perfect. It's him doing him, and I just love it.
We had Prime Target featuring Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley setting up their title match next week.
I'm here for this. Totally. That's all I'm going to say. I'm here for this.
Totally here for this. Pat McAfee and his boys came to the ring. He said Pete Dunne has been dominating for the last few weeks. He talked about how he was tweeting with Tom Brady and having his business ventures go well. They're now worth $150 million. He called us wrestling fans dumb and hyped up the tag title match. And all that fun stuff.
Which led into the tag title match.
But before we get there, we go backstage. Cameron Grimes said he's not afraid of ghosts, ghouls, or zombies, and he said he was scared of Dexter, but he covered Loomis' face up and caved them in. Good stuff.
It's very good stuff. Like I said, he's feeling his Wheaties. He's proud of himself till next week where Dexter comes for him.
So it leads to the tag title match. Breezango challenging Lorcan and Birch. You had Pat McAfee on commentary, Pete Dunne at ringside. Very convoluted towards the end. You had Drake Maverick get involved. You had Pat McAfee get involved. You had Pete Dunne get involved. In the end, Lorcan and Birch retain the titles. After the match, Drake tried to help take out the crew, but the Pat McAfee crew laid out all three men, including a punt to end the show.
I mean, it was a good punt. It was a quality punt. I liked it. I'm not sure you needed that many shenanigans in this match, but okay.
It's all building to the return of Undisputed Era, so, you know.
In one way or another, yes. One form or another, we will get Undisputed Era back. But yeah, in the meantime, I'm liking this. I'm really liking what Pat McAfee's doing. They're kind of giving him the ball, and they're letting him run with it, and you can tell that. And you're having him surrounded by a really nice group who compliments him and helps to lift him up. Like, they're going for it with him, because I think they saw what happened to TakeOver. They've seen the response to him from the fans, where everybody's like, holy shit, do something with him, because he's a star in the making, and he is. You can see it. The dude is just solid. Is he the best wrestler in the world? No, but he can cut a promo like nobody's business, and if he needs to work, he can. And, you know, wrestling Adam Cole doesn't hurt, because Adam Cole's going to make you look like $1 million. But still, they have something in Pat McAfee, and I love that they're doing something with him.
All these title matches every week, do you all think it's a response to AEW? Because I honestly prefer when titles were given time to breathe and not having a title defended when what seems like almost every week build feuds at pay-per-views.
Yes and no.
It's sort of a response to AEW, but in the same way, it's not a response because they're changing the schedule for the way takeovers are being done. So getting more title matches on television is a big plus, and trying to make your TV show something every week having a title match is not the worst idea. I mean, if you go back to the Attitude Era, there were title matches every week. Title matches on television aren't a bad thing, especially when it's not your world title. Your world title is not on the line every week. It's only on the line on the special events. Sans, you know, when there's an injury and they got put on television. Beyond that, your North America title, there's no problem with it being on TV. Same with the tag titles. You gotta have, you, for so long, like the tag titles were faded away.
Forgotten, yeah.
Because of everything that was going on. So getting them back in the forefront is good now. Do they have to defend them every week? No, but every few weeks, it's not bad. Especially when you're building to something, and it seems like they're building to stuff. Like with the Cruiserweight title, though, that division is so meaningless at this point. So if you defend it every week, that's fine. The division itself is just meaningless.
I think if anything, it's a response to the fact that the NXT title, the main title, is not on the show right now because Finn Balor is still injured.
He'll be back next week.
Yeah, so he'll be back next week, but I think they're just trying to fill space to compensate for the fact that Balor isn't there, and so what they're doing is they're allowing the other titles to shine a little bit more because of that. And I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. And again, because the tag titles lost so much relevance, the fact that they're being brought to the forefront again, I'm fine with that. Because for a long time, the tag titles really didn't get defended. They were just sort of there. Like, Undisputed Era just had them, and they perma-had them. And then they didn't have them, and I think it was Imperium that had them, right?
Yeah.
And they had them forever, and they never defended them because, one, I think they weren't here, and two, they didn't really have any tag teams built up to be able to take on Imperium outside of Undisputed Era. So it was like, well, crap, because if you remember, it was Pete and Matt Riddle who had them prior.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the pandemic hit, Matt lost the titles to Imperium because Pete couldn't get over. And then Matt got called up. So it's like the best tag team that you had going, they had to break up. So I think it's fine. Like, I don't see an issue with it. I think it adds an element to the show. It adds a layer of excitement to the show that it needs, because if it's all story all the time and there's nothing really on the line, sometimes it's just like, meh, it's just there. So it's nice that, you know, it's like Johnny Gargano, like, oh, you know, I'm going to prove to you that I can beat somebody in my first title defense. It's not necessarily hotshot in the title. It's just Johnny trying to be that cocky heel of, you know what, I know I've lost it on my first defense. I know I have that curse. So you know what, tonight I'm going to end that curse. I'm going to break it. I'm going to show you I'm right. And I'm going to beat somebody for this title. And he ends up losing it anyway.
True.
Through fate or dumb luck or whatever.
True.
And it helps to drive the story. So I don't mind it. Doesn't bother me.
Let's go to break.
No, they do not need to bring R-Truth in the 24/7 title to NXT. Yes, let's go to break. So when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week. And we're going to be talking all about The Undertaker. Because like I said, it is Undertaker month. It is his 30th anniversary, and they're releasing lots of content, and we want to talk about it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I
And while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Welcome back to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you are on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can subscribe to this channel for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, and you can use that subscription here. You can also follow and just hang out and chat the regular way all through that purple button. And because the holidays are coming up, and you know, if you happen to have a friend or a family member or anybody that you know that is in need of the manscaping products, well, you go to manscaped.com right now, and you can use code WTRLIVE in their store and get 20% off anything in the shop, plus free shipping. So, you know, keep that in mind as Black Friday and the holidays approach. So manscaped.com, WTRLIVE through the end of the month. And with that, I give you Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Radhi Gupta. Hot take. The Bachelorette is an exercise in polygamy. Or I'm sorry, in polyamory, and not everyone is cut out for it.
True.
Jessica Blevins. Give me some serious ideas on what I should get Ninja for Christmas. Dr. Lupo. Me. Wrapped up in only a bow. Darkness 429. Wow. Dr. Lupo, you're my present, though. Ninja, she wants a birthday gift not to make me divorce her for you. Crying face, devil face, raising hands. Blevins, The fuck you say, you little shit? Olivia Craighead. Alex Trebek was proof that you can be a kind person who also bullies nerds. 100% legend. R.I.P. F's in chat. Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
By the way, I love the petition for people who want to replace him, but can we wait like a month, a few weeks before we start petitioning for LeVar Burton? Like, I think that's a solid call, but can we at least wait like a week before we start petitioning for him to be replaced? And by him, I mean Alex Trebek, because like, yeah, it's kind of awkward. It's really kind of awkward because they've already indicated that like they're not going to replace him right now. So they're trying to air all the episodes first with him in them, and that's going to be hard enough. So solid choice. Like, I'm here for it. If they like decide that they're going to carry on with the show without Alex Trebek and they need a new host, LeVar Burton, that's your man right there. But can we just like wait like just another week before we do that? Just saying, just like another week. And then we, I feel like, you know, you put enough space. Because I don't even think they've had the funeral yet, have they?
I don't think so.
At least wait till they do a service.
It's Ken Jennings, not Kevin.
Yeah, Ken Jennings is the producer / winningest dude or whatever. Anyway, Cloaksy. I told my dog she was adopted today. Whips. You did what? Cloak. Wasn't nice. That's all I have.
Brett Gelman. I want this loss to be so devastating that Spirit Halloween takes over Trump Tower next year. Darkness 429. Anyone else wake up at 3 a.m. to smoke their meat? Broman, this is amazing. Darkness, being awake at 3 a.m. with meat in one hand and coffee in the other was a magical experience. Lupo, Tim, stop playing with it in the morning. You know you should give it time to wake up first. Broman, nah, when it's sleepy, it lasts longer.
What?
Make sure it's Manscaped from Manscaped.com. Code WTRLF. ProWrestling.net. Classic match. With the heel starting out strong, things looking bleak for the babyface, but he made a great comeback. My only complaint is that the match went longer than it needed to, but the right guy went over in the end. Kudos to the country for booking a clean finish. 5 stars. Donald Trump. I won this election by a lot. Kevin Owens. And I beat Goldberg at Fastlane in 2017 to keep my Universal title.
Kevin.
Renee Paquette. Was watching Full Gear. She tweets out, tax in the head. Come on, man. Hurricane Helms. He's going to need a little TLC later. FYI. Renee Paquette orders bulk Epsom salts and first aid kit. Mikey Ruckus. Holy shit, I'm glad Matt didn't pull out the fireworks when we were filming a couple weeks ago. Rebby Hardy. Matt never pulls out the fireworks. Renee Paquette. My mom was watching John's match from last night. She does not like it. Lance Storm. This can't be a surprise. She tried to quit watching several times, but deep down, Carol is twisted in her own way, wanting to see the mayhem. I mean, true. Rich Eisen. The Bucks had all the legal points tonight and should be declared the winner. They did kick the Bucks' ass on Sunday.
They did.
Malcolm Blevins. If I were a rapper, I'd definitely use Call Me Bray Wyatt because I'm a fiend for that money. Every track. I mean, you know.
It's not a lie.
Not a lie. All right. That's Tweet of the Week.
Okay. Alrighty. So, now we get to talk about my favoriteest thing in the whole wide world. My old man. I shouldn't call him that. Not that he'll ever hear that, but The Undertaker. Call him my old man because...
Wrestling Grandpa.
Wrestling Grandpa is Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman has dubbed him Wrestling Grandpa.
I hate that we're all just like, he's old. And he's really not that old.
He's old now. He's your grandpa. He's your grandpa.
Wrestling grandpa. Poor Taker. Anyway, so WWE in their infinite wisdom, much to my delight, has released the 30 days of Undertaker on the network where every week this month, they're putting out a brand new piece of content, if you will,
The
Undertaker. If you will. So we had Meeting the Undertaker.
Hold on. The best story of that was it was called Meeting Mark Calloway up until like 3 days before the thing aired, and miraculously when you air it, it's called Meeting the Undertaker.
It means Ben saw it and was like, no!
We're not calling him Mark Calloway. He's still my Undertaker, by God.
He's still the Undertaker until he retires, and even then he's not Mark, he's Taker.
He's Taker. He's
just legally...
Just legally change your name like Warrior to just Taker.
Just Undertaker. Michelle can be Mrs. Taker. It will be fine.
I mean, everyone already thinks it, so...
Yeah, might as well just go for it. Anyway, so this week was the Paul Bearer documentary, which is honestly long overdue, because it sort of tells Paul Bearer's story and Bill Moody's story and how he kind of came, how the whole thing kind of happened. And it was really cool to watch, but it was really sad to watch at the same time.
Yeah, it was. It was really cool to see them go back to the Percy Pringle days and just sort of tell that story.
I think my one thing that I wished they had done, and I think I understand why they didn't do it this way, is because of what's coming this weekend and what's coming after this. Because this weekend is the Taker Kane sit down, where the two of them are basically in a theater together and they are sitting there telling stories. And I have little doubt that Paul's going to come up multiple times and they're going to tell multiple stories about him. But also the Steve Austin documentary part two, the fact that you had Undertaker sit down with Steve again and they do another interview, and I don't know how long it is. I hope it's like kind of like the other one, which was like an hour and a half or 2 hours, but they just sit there and they just talk. So I'm pretty sure Paul's gonna come up in that probably as well. But the Paul documentary, it kind of brought up an interesting point, which was Paul Bearer was extremely essential to not only to The Undertaker, but to Kane as well, in making them and making those characters and telling those stories and really bringing them both to prominence and helping to elevate them both.
Mankind as well.
Mankind as well. Yeah. I mean, just in terms of helping to bring them about and really give them relevance in a time where they desperately needed it, because really at the height of Paul Bearer's popularity and his power and everything was the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
And everything going on there. And the fact that I want to believe, they don't say it, but I want to believe that a lot of the outlandish shit that The Undertaker and Kane did in the mid-90s, he had a hand in.
Oh, without question.
Like the whole Kane Taker storyline, you know, I would love to know how much of that is Paul Bearer's thought process and idea, because he was so out there. And it was neat to hear about him and them talk about his creative process and how very much into it he actually was. And it was cool too, because they had interviews with Paul that they had pre-recorded from years ago that they put into the documentary. But they had new stuff from, like, I think Mick Foley, and they had new stuff from Kane.
They had
new stuff from Taker.
Michael Hayes as well. And Bruce Pritchard.
Mm-hmm. And they had them all talking about him. And so this kind of is like a jumping off point for our discussion, because we wanted to do this last week, but it's like, no, we need to save Taker. We need to hold on to Taker. And by the way, there will be a rack extra for the Kane Taker sit down. So y'all can just look forward to that.
Before we get into the question for a moment, I did like how Bruce Pritchard was involved in this documentary and sort of was able to give some of the backstory details of, you know, his role in WWE, how Paul Bearer's role changed throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see him get involved in the documentary for Paul. It was good.
I think they wanted to do it. Like I said, I think it was a long time coming for him, and it was always a little sad that they, like, and they did a lot for him in terms of when he passed away. They did a huge tribute to him when he passed away. But it's like the fact that his story never really gets told, and you never really know how it all came about. Like, the whole reason The Undertaker had Paul Bearer was because basically Bruce Pritchard couldn't travel. Or wouldn't travel. And so they had to find somebody that was willing to travel with The Undertaker to do the road shows.
Because Bruce was still working in the office, and he can't do the house shows. And if you're going to the house shows, you want to see the full presentation.
Yeah, so they needed to find somebody that could travel with Mark and do the full shtick. And they found somebody. You find out that, I think it was Hawk, right? Road Warrior Hawk, that gave him the name.
Yeah.
Which was Paul Bearer.
One other thing, we'll go back to when Paul Bearer died, and everyone criticized them using Paul Bearer in the storyline, and you had Kane and Undertaker going, and Michael Hayes going, "Yeah, it's what he wanted. He would have loved it, because he's being featured in a main event story at WrestleMania. That's who he is. He would have loved it."
I had to laugh because Taker's sitting there, and he's like, "Yeah, it seemed a little soon. It was a little soon, but then you think about it and you're like, nah, he would have been fine with it.
He'd been cool with it, because he was being the featured attraction.
you know, just the level of relevancy that he had and the fact that he was the story of WrestleMania. And it was that really big final tribute from The Undertaker and Kane, and he was the star of that story. They were like, yeah, like, I loved Kane. He's like, are you kidding me? He would have loved it. He would have been all up in that. What are you talking about? It's like, yeah, I'm getting that general impression. We still didn't get an explanation on the cucumber stuff, though.
No, they just told a story of how the cucumber was in the bottom water.
I really want to know why The Undertaker really just hates cucumbers. I don't understand it. Is it just, he just sees one and he freaks out? Or, like, I need this explained. Somebody please explain this to me. Why this giant ass man is just, like, physically opposed to a cucumber.
Right.
And does it apply to pickles? Because if he eats pickles, but he doesn't eat cucumbers, then I'm going to question everything. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't because it's just a shriveled up cucumber. But still, I need to know. Like, these are the things in my life that I need to know. But anyway, it goes to our question, which I guess you could say would be the question of the night. And it's just our jumping off point to talk about the many, many memories that we have of Taker. Would Undertaker's career have had the legendary status that it has without Paul Bearer?
That's an interesting question, because they touched upon it in the documentary. Could The Undertaker have taken off? Yes, but I don't think it would have grown without a manager of some sort. While Brother Love was great in the role, it just never always fit. You needed someone in that dark persona to fit with The Undertaker, because they wanted to keep him silent. As we all know, he's a great talker. Fantastic talker. He can cut a promo when he needs to cut a promo that's really, really good, as we saw in the build-up to WrestleMania this year, and in many years before. If The Undertaker debuted in 2000 as The Undertaker without Paul Bearer, he'd have been fine because it's a different time period. But back then, when it's more of the cartoon era, he needed the voice. He needed something to add to his character because he's the dead man. He has to be led to the ring by someone, and they brought up how they brought in the urn and how it helped the gimmick, because Paul used to, as Percy, had a cane that he would carry with him.
Yeah, he talked about how, Paul himself in the interviews said that back in, you know, he'd always had something in his hands. And when he was managing as Percy Pringle, he had a cane in his hands, and he just needed something to, because he didn't know what to do with his hands, right?
Like, what am I supposed to do with my hands? I don't know where to put my hands.
And so he came up with the idea of carrying with the urn to the ring, because then that gave him a physical prop, and they worked it into the act of it becoming the power of The Undertaker and it becoming a major piece of the lore of The Undertaker, simply because he needed to do something with his hands. But that's really cool that they did that, and they hear that story of how that kind of came about. And if you look at a lot of the old stuff, it's built with Taker in mind, right? Like, Taker's there, but it's really Paul Bearer's at the center of it, because he's the one that's speaking. He's the one that's driving the story. Taker's just there to either do the attack or be intimidating or whatever, but Paul Bearer's the one that's actually breathing life, if you want to use that phrase, into the act.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it not only for Taker, like we said, but he did it the whole reason Kane came about. Taker and Bearer came up with that. The brother. The lost brother. And it was supposed to be a one-off 20-something years later.
20-something years later, he was still being talked about.
You know, Kane's still around. And they told that whole story, and they built that whole story of the brother and how, you know, Paul Bearer got up to no good with The Undertaker's mama. And here we are. Which I would love. I think we're going to get some of the backstory on that this weekend. But yeah, my thought process is I think he would have had a career. I don't know if it would have been as legendary as what it is now. I also don't think you would have necessarily had Kane, at least in the way that we have him now.
No, we wouldn't have, because there would have been a point where The Undertaker character got stale, and because you had a manager, you were able to reinvent the character over and over again and keep it fresh.
And you know who else I don't think we would have?
Who?
Mankind. I don't think Mankind would have had the career that he had in WWE without Paul Bearer.
No, because he came in and was in 96, I think. And he was put right into a feud with Taker. He was earmarked to fight Taker right off the jump. And that SummerSlam match they had where Paul turns on Taker made Mankind, because Mankind beat The Undertaker in the Boiler Room Raw. And that was a jumping off point for Mankind, who then would go right on next pay-per-view, fight Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship in what Mick Foley calls one of his greatest matches, if not the greatest match he's ever had, against Shawn Michaels at Mind Games. So it was like, Paul helped make The Undertaker, make Kane, make Mankind, and so many others in other personas, but just talking about Paul and The Undertaker, he helped create that lore about The Undertaker. Because you had this soft, growling man utter three words.
Rest in peace.
And then Paul would do the talking, and his voice. What also helped was, and they mentioned in the documentary, the facial reactions. All Paul's facials helped make the characters.
The face and the voice and the whole look and, I mean, just everything. You know, it just made it. Like, it's just, it's one of those happenstance moments that it just, there it was, and it was so perfect, and he was so perfect. And what helped is that he and Taker really, really got along, and that was one of the things that I really wish they had explored more, was the friendship between the two. And I don't know if just Mark didn't want to go there with it, or they had it in there and then they cut it out, or what the whole deal was.
It just wasn't the story they were telling.
Yeah, it just wasn't the story they were telling, but I wish they had talked more about the friendship between The Undertaker and Paul, because there was a definite friendship brotherhood between the two. And I think it was something very, very special, because I know Taker was just like absolutely busted up when Paul died, and rightfully so, and as was Kane and everybody else. And it was interesting how they talked about how that all went down when he passed away, how they had just finished SmackDown when everybody found out. Because I remember we were playing Cards Against Humanity, I think, when we found out. We're sitting here watching SmackDown and it got announced.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing something. I forget what we were doing, but we were doing something.
We were doing something when it happened.
And they were like, we're going to send three people to the funeral. It's going to be Taker, Kane, and Michael Hayes.
It was not that we're going to send three people, but if there are only three people that can go, these will be the three.
Yeah. I think more people went, but Kane talked about how people had sent flowers and gifts and everything from around the world, and it showed really what Paul had meant to the wrestling community as a whole and the fans.
Yeah.
And how the fans were more his family, even though he yelled at me one time on Twitter and blocked me. I don't know why. I'm still very perplexed as to why I don't ever get an answer. But anyway, what the fans really meant to him and how they were just an extension of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool that they talked about that. But going back to the question, I don't think The Undertaker, he would have had a career. I don't think it would have just been as legendary. I think he would have had the lasting power that he's had. He might not have done half the stupid shit that he's done. So maybe he would have lasted longer. It's hard to say. But I think in terms of just the stories that he's told, characters he's helped to create, the characters that he's helped to influence, and the character that he himself does, I don't think would be nearly as epic without Paul.
No.
I just don't think it would have happened. Like, Paul Bearer is so central to everything that The Undertaker did and does. And especially in terms of early on creating this mythos for the character that they can just, this really rich history that they can just go back to time and time again. And it's just there. Like, think about it. You know, they took, thanks to Paul and Mark, they took this Old West Undertaker from, and, you know, being what he was, into this kind of terrifying badass who may or may not have murdered his parents, even though I think he did technically, with a crazed half brother, to a biker dude, back to the dead man,
which they did to bring back Paul.
Yeah, which they did to bring back Paul, and bringing back Paul was Mark's idea. And originally he didn't want to do it because he was so overweight and his health was so poor that he's like, no, I don't want to do it. And they're like, we'll help you out, we'll help you get the surgery that you need. Taker is Taker. I'm saying Taker would have had a career. I don't think it would be on the level, just because you wouldn't have the stories that were told. Like, there's a point in the 90s where Taker is without Paul Bearer, and that's where he shines. And Taker can shine on his own without Paul Bearer, and he would have gotten there. But it's just in terms of the epic level stories, because I really think that the core of what makes The Undertaker The Undertaker, and what people really fondly remember about him, is the 90s. Up to about 98, I would say, from like maybe 96 to 98, that two-ish year period for him. At least for me, that's what stands out. I think that because that's where like all the Hell in the Cells and a lot of the really prominent casket matches and the Inferno matches and the Boiler Room Brawls and all the really epic level matches that Taker did back in heyday one, that's where they all are, is right there in about 96 to 98, 94 to 99. Okay, for me it stands out 96 to 98 in particular, but 94 to 99, yeah, I'll give you that. I was trying to leap out the Ministry.
I'm not talking about the Ministry. I was talking
pre-ministry,
yeah,
but like that's really his, that's really his height one. And then height two would be probably 2007 to like 2010. Maybe as far as 2012?
As Darkness Taker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I still have a very special place in my heart for American Badass Taker, Biker Taker. I except for the Big Evil when he first turned heel. That was just no.
That was cool.
It was cool, but it was no. It was like, honey, no, stop it. You're having a tantrum. Just stop it. But I'm partial to Biker Taker because that's when I first met The Undertaker, essentially. When I started watching was when he came back as Biker Taker. So I have a very special affinity for it because that was the first incarnation of The Undertaker that I ever saw. I never really saw him as Darkness Undertaker round one. Although I think I might have come across the Ministry of Darkness one time accidentally on TV. I think. But
I need to correct chat for a second. Hmm. I'm glad you enjoyed Undertaker in 1988. He didn't exist.
Well, Mark Calloway did, but...
Mark Calloway, but not Taker. Mean Mark Calloway. Mean Mark.
And the Punisher and Texas Red and... Y'all want to keep putting him out in those assless chaps. I'm fine with that. Y'all can keep doing that. We're good with that. But yeah, I think he would have had the prolific career that he had. But I just don't think it would be as legendary because those stories that he's really well known for and that whole mythos with Kane, and as many times as they've gone back to that, because Kane's been a catalyst for a lot of what he does. Like, the whole reason The Undertaker went back to the dark side in 2003 was because Kane buried him alive and betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
Which then led to him, the Mania match at WrestleMania 20, where we had the best acting performance by Kane ever. He should have gotten an Oscar. He got robbed. When Taker came back with Paul Bearer. So I think just for the Kane-Taker storyline that we got out of that, we would never have had that without Paul Bearer. Never. It never would have happened.
Yeah, it wouldn't have, no.
And Paul Bearer was really the driving factor behind that whole thing in terms of getting Kane over as his bastard son and basically talking about, you know, how The Undertaker set the house on fire and killed his parents. And, you know, I have a whole secret, because the whole lead up to that, I believe, because it was like a year long build, wasn't it? Where like Paul was blackmailing The Undertaker with the information to bring Taker back in line and get his control back over The Undertaker until The Undertaker said, you want to go fuck yourself. And then Paul's like, your brother's alive. He survived the fire! And
it was about, like, wait. About 6 months.
Okay. But still, it's like, wait, what? What? He got a brother? What? And then you suddenly realize that this unholy demon was like a child with parents and a dog and a brother. And you're like, oh my holy snap. No, what happened to you? Like, I feel like that storyline is just so pivotal to him because it takes him from being this kind of two-dimensional character to a three-dimensional character. And you can imagine him as a real person. And when you can do that with a wrestling character, yeah, that's cool. Because a lot of times you can't. A lot of times it's like kind of what you see, what you get is what you get. But the fact that The Undertaker is an onion and he has layers, I really like that. I really love that. And he can continue to talk nice about Bray Wyatt too. I have to bring that up. I'm sorry. Because he did an interview with, I think it was the New York Post.
Times.
Thank you.
Post, Times, something. One of them.
Taker. Anyway, talked about The Fiend and how they really could have done something special because they fought at WrestleMania. And I'm like, why didn't you?
It was the Post.
It's like, why didn't you do this thing? But he really likes The Fiend, so maybe at Survivor Series. Maybe at Survivor Series. Praying, hoping. But yeah, so I think we're both agreed, Paul Bearer. Not that that wasn't going to be the conclusion, but that Paul Bearer was pivotal.
Very pivotal.
So, we miss you, Paul. I think everybody misses you, but yeah. So coming up this weekend in the Undertaker month is the Undertaker Kane sit down, as I've said 50 times, and then post-Survivor Series will be the Austin Taker chat part two. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait for that. That should be good because they've gotten through all like the back like history sort of interview that Austin likes to do. So now I'm really curious to see what they actually talk about. And this is new footage, by the way. It's not old stuff from the previous interview that they just didn't put in. This is new footage. And yes, I believe that they were drinking. So there you go. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does. Programming. Nope. We're not doing Friday.
Yeah.
You could tell my energy level is going downhill.
Rock needs to go rest.
Yeah. But we'll have 4 notes on Saturday. So, look forward to that. Programming notes, CBR announced live will happen at some point. Was unable to do it last night. Saturday night, though, it's CBR, CBRLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, they preview Wrestle Talk Radio, or they preview Summer Survivor Series on Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back for a Raw post-show Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll preview Survivor Series. The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link to your Twitch account, and it's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. You can buy Lachlan's new skin, available now. You can buy all the Marvel skins, all available now. Hashtag ad, hashtag Epic Barter. Go to manscaped.com, use code WGRLIVE this holiday season, for the rest of this month, and save 20% off and get free shipping. Use code WTRLIVE. Your balls will thank you. At Wild Talk Radio on the Twitters, if you'd like to follow that, and facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWD. And like you said, don't forget to check out manscaped.com and our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So like we said, no Fortnite with Friends tonight. But stay tuned Saturday for Fortnite with Friends and CB Radio and, you know, all our wonderful fun activities after that. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you Saturday. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.